Everyone faces questions and decisions that require insight and answers as we move forward personally, professionally, and corporately in all areas of this thing we call life in America today. Hello, this is Joe Schofield, and I invite you to tune in every Monday evening from 6 to 7 p.m. as we talk together and hear from key leaders of all ages and backgrounds about your questions. Interesting, informative, intuitive, but always encouraging. Tune us in on BBS Radio Network.
Join Pastor Joe and co-hosts Ron Greer, Dr. Paul Hall, Stephanie Thayer, and Dr. Craig Thayer in Raising Expectations.
Hey, good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to this Monday night's version of Raising Expectations. And we're sure glad you tuned in. It's great to have you as a part of our Raising Expectations family, and we look forward to being with you each and every week. And like we always say, we never take you for granted. We thank God for each and every one of you, and we hope that God's working in your life, raising your expectations as he meets your needs day after day after day. Again, I'm Pastor Joe, and this is my wife, Melba, right here. And we're just, again, really glad that you're here with us. We're going to begin a great show tonight. We have two of our very favorite people to be with you. And I know you've been reading about it. You've corresponded back and appreciate all those checks. So many people checking in. And it's wonderful to have you with us tonight. As you know, we're believers. We're born again believers. We believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. We believe he died on the cross for our sins. And that's a great thing because he took care of something we can't take care of ourselves. And we know that while we're here on earth, he loves us and walks with us. And our expectations get raised each day when we discover more and more the purpose and the plan that he has for our life. And someday we're going to go to be with him. So we know what's happening here, and we know we can trust what's happening there. So we're glad you tuned in tonight, and you're always in our prayer that way for your lives. You know, we have a wonderful team of people. We're going to be missing one tonight. Ron Greer, Pastor Ron Greer from Texas, can't be with us tonight, but he'll be back with us next week. And so we're going to go to the West Coast. And you know, as we begin tonight, if you have your screen there in front of you, if you go to our website, bbsradio.com/raising expectations, bbsradio.com/raising expectations. We'll be able to see some of the wonderful people on our team that you know, but some of you may not, and you can see a little bit about them. On the West Coast, all the way in Lompoc, California, just above Santa Barbara, we have one of the most wonderful guys you'll ever meet, and that's Dr. Paul Hall. And he's there in Lompoc. He's a retired pastor. He's a teacher. He's a leader. He's a counselor. You know, old pastors never retire. They just pastor in new ways. And he's the perfect example of that as he helps people all over the California area there. Good to see you, Paul. You doing all right?
I'm doing okay. Thanks.
We'll get you better. Yeah. Everybody be praying for everybody. This flu thing is not too good going around. So it's good to see you, brother. And if we go all the way to the south part of the East Coast, which would make it the southeast part of the United States, if you go to Dalton, Georgia, you're going to meet two of the most wonderful people you'll ever meet. A wonderful couple. That would be Dr. Craig and his wonderful wife, Stephanie Thayer, in Dalton, Georgia. And Stephanie, his wife, she's there on the left. She has just done a great job. She helps women. She counsels. She shares. She's a business specialist in her own right. She really understands the business world. She also is a great person to understand on what to eat and what not to eat when it comes to health. And probably one of the greatest things, she's a wonderful mom to her family and her kids. And she's done a wonderful job loving, taking care of this great guy on her left. And that would be Dr. Craig Thayer. And Craig is a wonderful man also, all 6 foot six of him, somewhere right in there, 6'5", 6'6". That's why we call him Tank, because we'll call him anything he likes. So anyway, except late for dinner. We had to talk on that one time. But he's right there in Dalton, Georgia also. He is a great surgeon. He knows how to take care of people. He's a surgeon that has gone not only to help people here, but on the mission field. They've been together helping people on the mission field, whether it's the Caribbean or some in Africa. They're always ready to help whenever God calls, and their expectations shift back and forth all the time as God uses them in new and special ways each and every day, just like with Paul. It's exciting to walk with God and see what's coming next. So he also is an author. If you go to our website, bbsradio.com/raising expectations, you'll find his book. His book is there on the site, and it's called Saved. And there's a copy. Saved, his book, is a great book about his life, about what God has done in his life, showing him what he had prepared for him and helping him to develop into the wonderful godly man he is today. So you'll want to get a copy of his book. Mine's just above him. It's called Legitimate Faith. And the two books together are right there that you can read about. Craig's book will encourage you to realize one great thing, that God works in the ordinary things of life. The thing that's exciting to be a Christian is to know that whatever we face, big, small, difficult, whatever the situation, God's already there and he's already mapped a way through it. And the ordinary things of life are where he works. And there he is, finding God in the ordinary. And that's one trauma surgeon's true accounts of the miracles of his life. And friends, if you look back over this past week, like Craig and I have talked at times, you'll probably find there's some miracles in your life where you have to say, when you pillow your head at night, what happened today in my life that could not have happened if it wasn't for the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ working in my life? And that makes all the difference. So you want to get a copy of that. Also, my book is right there, Legitimate Faith. What makes faith legitimate? And when it becomes legitimate, what does it really do in your life? You want to get a copy of that if you can. It produces an authentic hope. And authentic means it happens every day when you look to Christ. Storm clouds go away. Faith, F-A-I-T-H, forsaking all, we learn to trust him. I trust him. So thanks so much for checking on that. Keep that Facebook page ready so you can go to it anytime. Many of you have shared with me how you have appreciated going to that. And going to go from this to our speaker tonight. You're really going to want to have a time. We're going to have a great discussion tonight. Our special guests tonight are Elizabeth and her husband, Ron Allers, and they're from Southern California, running by request there with the Republican Party for the California Assembly seat, District 40, which is near Santa Clarita, right? Santa Clarita, California. And Elizabeth, she is so prepared. God has just primed her for this. She's ready to go. Great things are going to happen when she gets elected, and she can use your help. And you can get that from us anytime. You can text us and check the website and also go right on our program website too, which is again on bbsradio.com/raising expectations. And on there, you'll find our show and find information all about what's happening there. So again, it's great to have you with us tonight. We want to welcome Elizabeth and Ron with a round of applause that goes left to right. So Elizabeth, Ron, welcome to Raising Expectations. That's it. You got it down. Some people probably turn on the show and say, what are those people doing? That's a good thing. There's Elizabeth on the right and Ron on the left. Welcome to the show. Good to see
Oh,
you.
hello everyone, and happy Valentine's. Next weekend is Valentine's. So
Amen.
I put on this pin. This was my grandmother's, and it's some stones in the shape of a heart, and my dad gave it to her in the hospital just days before she passed into heaven. Yeah,
Hey.
she was me. Let's see, she was 91, I think, and she had a stroke, and she was put in the hospital in 2004, and I delivered our fifth child at the same
Hospital.
area of time, yeah, and the same hospital, and that was Ben, our fifth one. And when Ben and I were ready to go home, I carried him to the other section of the hospital, and so that my grandmother could see Ben. And so what is that, Ron? It's a fourth generations. And she was wearing this pin in the hospital because it was February. So her birthday was February 17th, and Ben was born on February 15th. And
Oh.
she passed away when Ben was just 2 weeks old. But it was very special that she got to see him, and we got pictures together. So for Valentine's, I like to bring out the pin and honor my grandmother. So
That's neat.
yeah, so we wanted to start with talking about family today, and sometimes family starts with Valentine's.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah.
Now, you both met in college. Is that right?
Yeah. So Ron is a bit he we went to UCLA. He was a big Bruin fan. And that's one of the things that I loved about him is that he has so much spirit. So he would go all out cheering for the team. And he's the same way with the Lord and the same way with what we're doing now in politics. And so so the Lord's brought us a long way, and a lot of it is really Ron's enthusiasm and full spirit that I appreciate from the time I was 18 when I met him.
Oh, wow. May I share that one thing that you said, Ron? I think it was a year ago or something we were all talking. I have your permission.
Okay. It's
It
already out on the air, so go for it.
was said, this going out live, Ron. I never forget it. It was so special. You remember, Elizabeth? I think I rolled it to you and Regina, but Raina, I mean. She said, yes, when we were in college, everywhere I looked, there was Ron. Everywhere I look, there was Ron. Because it was a miracle and good trailing. Very good, Ron. Good work.
Yeah, those were the days before cell phones and texting. So if he wanted to find me, he had to like actually look up my class schedule and stand at the door. And so, there he was.
There you are.
And
Perfect.
no Apple AirTag either.
No, that's right.
Mean,
That's
it
right.
worked out pretty well,
Oh,
so.
that's great. That is great. Valentine's is special, huh? Steph, Tank, do you guys remember a time about Valentine's as people think about it?
Yeah, I actually proposed to Steph the day before Valentine's
Yeah, we
Day.
tend to celebrate the 13th and not the 14th. One, because a lot of people don't know this, but if you're a specialist, they're on call 365 days. So he was. The year he proposed to me, he was actually on call on Valentine's Day. So we've always been very flexible with when and how we celebrate holidays in general, because you may not really, may not be up to you. And so it's kind of fun. We like to rotate making dinner for each other. So we usually make 1 year each person's favorite, and that's been a lot of fun. I like simple things, so I appreciate that.
Amen. It's great. Yeah. Valentine's is a special time. Yep.
The first.
That's right. I got that one right, Steph.
Valentine's.
Yeah, that's right.
You
Our
guys.
first Valentine together. That's right. So now that we've said this, I have to do something, huh, guys?
For
Pressure
sure.
on.
Better be right on, huh, Steph? That's right. All right.
We watch the same movie, if not on Valentine's Day, right on around it every year. If you guys remember Princess Bride.
Oh, yeah.
Vaguely.
Yeah.
It's a super corny, super sad movie. And every year we made it our tradition so the kids are all used to that tradition and watch it with us. We haven't done it with the grandkids yet,
Haven't done
but
it.
yeah, I think we
Listen,
start
there's
that.
princess, there's adventure, there's a villain. Like the whole, it's actually a really amazing book, too. The book is very accurate to the movie, which is extremely rare.
I
But
had such a hard time reading it. Ron got me the book because I love the movie, but I couldn't figure out the book.
yeah.
I'll have to try it again.
Our children, they like roll their eyes when I'm like, let's watch Princess Bride. They think it's a form of torture. I'm like, don't you have the sword scenes and the whole deal, the
That's inconceivable.
Inconceivable, right? Or what about Dear We Beloved? We are gathered here, like you
Yeah.
can't even.
One of my favorites, which I sometimes use when I know she's calling me. My name is Inigo Montoya. You killed my father. Prepare to die. Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, so funny. I'm not good at actors' names. I don't watch a whole lot of TV, but we've gotten really into these murder mystery things recently. And so I sent a series to my dad, and my dad made a comment. It was that actor that is the
Mandy
Inigo Montoya.
Pananikin.
Okay, but I didn't know what he looks like, not in character. So when I realized, and this is, what, 40 years later. So when I realized who that actor was and how many other things I have seen him in, he's a fantastic actor. I was
Yeah, I think that movie really can symbolize why Ron and I decided to that run for assembly in California. I'm so glad Paul's a California, Joe's a California. You guys are praying for us from Georgia, because our families have really been under attack in California. For whether it's the school curriculum with confusing the children with, are you a boy or a girl? Are you a cat or a dog? Or instead of teaching the children what they need to be successful in life, they're actually can bringing them to destruction if the kids go on this path. So these family matters and so I love Princess Bride because everything is very clear. This is good. This is evil. This is right. This is wrong. These are the bad guys. These are the good
These are
guys.
good guys.
And the good guys keep going and going and going against all odds, whether they're getting boulders rolled onto them or, and he's like numbed. It's like numb on a, like paralyzed on his
Paralyzed.
whole body.
Yeah.
And he keeps going. And so I think that's what we as the body of Christ, however we are being attacked and being even immobilized in some area of our body or our organization, coming together as the body of Christ, knowing what clearly that what is right, what is wrong, what needs to be done. We can compensate for all of our weaknesses. And so Ron and I have really appreciated raising expectation friends, providing prayer for support for us and helping us to get the word out. So yeah, our district this time is North San Fernando Valley in Los Angeles County and Santa Clarita Valley. So it's more contiguous than our last district when we were running for Senate. And this one is also very competitive. It's still more Democrat than Republican, but only by 10 or less points, which can really be a difference in a non-presidential year. So with if we're expecting a low turnout, which means that if we work really hard to get the churches out to vote and certain segments of the population that don't usually go vote, we can do this.
That's right. I was speaking to someone in Texas. In fact, no, actually, he's in Los Angeles. It's my friend, our friend. You guys remember? He was the manager and the outreach director and everything for Joe Collins when he ran for Senate. And he said, that district she really can do that. God can propel her right over that because he knows this. I'm familiar with that area, and they could do a wonderful job there in Santa Clarita. He's really excited about it. And
Yes.
so
Yeah,
that's
if it's 10,
yeah.
even if it's 7 to 10 points more Democrats registered than Republicans in our Senate district, which was much deeper blue, we had 20% outperforming Republican registration, which means we had, well, I think we had 20 to 40% of non-Republicans voting for us because not all the Republicans come out. So we can do this, and we're working hard on it, Ron. We're still solidifying our team, raising funds and raising expectations.
There you go. You were talking about the movie. You both were sharing. It reminds me how the Lord tells us one phrase. Shoot, remember this back in college, way back in college fall. Remember, and seminary, the simple phrase. Now, I don't know who coined it. As somebody, some pastor somewhere, if we remember, but always remember, we are in the grip of His grace. The grip of His grace. No matter what we face, no matter what's coming. Nothing can remove us, just like the sheep. He says we're in his hand in John. Nothing will never let us go. So we're just praying and claiming that for you in Santa Clarita. You're in the grip of God's call and in His grace. And and by the way, there's six Californians here with you. One, two, three, four, five of us right now. I majored in math, Tank. You could tell, but they grew up California. Tell us where you were from, and again, so she'll remember up north.
So we, well, you can speak for yourself. I was born in Santa Monica, but I was raised in El Dorado County. So my parents moved up there when I was two, and we lived in that county until 2021. COVID was the catalyst. How about you? Where are you from?
I was raised in Cupertino, which is part of
Oh,
San Diego.
wow. Appleville.
One block away from a computer, so.
Yeah, California. It's always been the place to be. It's the first time in California history that there's more people leaving than coming, and at least coming legally. And
Yes.
we still have 40% of California that voted for President Trump, but we don't have 40% recognized voice in our legislature or in our congressional representatives. So we're at a super majority of Democrats in our assembly and in our Senate. So we've got three branches of California government that are just going, it's like a snowball effect, faster and faster down destruction. $100 billion of fraud found in California. Minnesota's been so much in the news, but California is so much worse. And what's happened to money that was going to go for fire victims and then the homeless thing, I don't know, like $24 billion can't be found that was supposed to go toward homelessness, and homelessness has increased by 35%. So,
Yes. Yeah.
yeah.
I didn't lose that. Go ahead, Ron.
They're insane numbers. I mean, those are B's as in billion, not millions, like your home price, right? It's a B. And so it is, the numbers are just so big that it is just inconceivable that there could be that much theft going on in California, and the governor, along with his staff, is okay with it because they're not prosecuting, they're not going after it, and they're not even shutting the systems down to then redo the system to make it more fraud proof, right? They're just continuing on. Oh yeah, we know there's billions lost, and they just continue writing checks. And you're like, stop it. A sane person would
Yes.
stop, fix the problem, and then go forward, right? But we are not known for our sanity, nor for the cliffs of insanity, but it's okay.
Very frustrating to me because I used to be deeply involved in outreach in Northern California, and I got very familiar with the homelessness issues, and the majority are lifers. It's a decision. There are very few situational things like you can't get a job if you don't have an address. You know, there's a lot of things that people just don't know about the homeless population. But as it has grown in California, you know, I have family that's in Los Angeles County, actually, where the big fires were last year, which you can just see the complete mismanagement, the negligence. It's atrocious. But they were having all kinds of things done to try to help the homeless. And it was something like $200,000 per person was being thrown at per homeless. And they rehomed like three people. And by the way, for the first time in my life, and my grandparents lived there, like I just grew up going there. I was seeing homeless on the beaches, like in the neighborhoods where these mega mansions were. I mean, they're just in places you would never have expected, and they really can't be moved. Sometimes the answer is not throwing more money at it. And so I think what we're seeing in California is, oh, we'll just keep throwing money. And well, we do need some money to get things done, but money by itself, without well thought out plans, what's the root cause? How do we disincentivize people for living everywhere? Like, I want to live in a tent on the beach for free too. That's kind of amazing. You know, I mean, that freaked me out. And so I think that there's a lack of accountability. And I love what you are standing for, Elizabeth. It's very hard to be the voice of reason when this crazy train is going down the track. But it's so necessary because, one, it's not sustainable. And two, California is a really wonderful state that deserves to be saved.
That's right.
We still have so many wonderful people, and a lot of frustration. A lot of them are getting discouraged from voting because they feel that it's hopeless. But it's not hopeless. The same number of votes that got Gavin Newsom into the governor's house is the same number of Christians that could have voted.
That's right. That's
So we can really make big changes if we get out there. I miss Ron. He was really on that topic last time.
He'll be back. Yeah, he'll be back. He's back. And are you finding at all that some of the churches, like you're all sharing, have backed up a little bit and reevaluated their position of their simplistic version of separation of church and state? Well, no, we don't do that, only basically because they don't want to face where they can be a force for difference and a force for people like you. They'll go in there and, with God's call, change things. Are you finding a little bit of a difference?
Yeah, I'm finding that there are pastors that are more willing to talk to me. They might not let me in their on their platform, on a Sunday, but they're willing to talk to me and see that I am for real. I'm not just doing this, to make a name for myself, but
Yes.
I'm doing this to save this beautiful state of ours for the next generation, for our children, save our children. I was talking to another candidate today that he in his district, the tr sex trafficking is right out on the street. He can tell exactly where they got these children from. And there's Christians that have put billboards up along that street saying the prostitution is happening right here. But people are not speaking up, and they're not acting, and they're not voting on it. And so I was discussing with this other candidate, how the Bible says that if the watchmen don't warn the people, the blood is on their hands. And we can't be silent, and we can't be inactive. We can't just shrug our shoulders and say, oh, Jesus is coming back for me. As long as we are here, we need to be instruments of truth and
Amen.
goodness and
Amen.
beauty. We can, the homeless thing, that's so ugly. It's ugly, ugly, ugly. It is, and it's The people are not healthy. The people are not well. It is not loving the people to leave them out in the streets and in that condition with their needles, even if they're getting free needles. But we, God's people, are the instruments to bring God's truth, God's goodness, and God's beauty into our world. And as long as Jesus is tarrying, we need to be out there and in there. So that's what we're working on it. But I am saying, oh, and mentioning the pastors, we have a big development. There is a Christian university in the district that has I've been connected to them all my life, really. And they have never wanted to be politically involved. They're very influential all over the world, but they've never wanted to support a political candidate, even someone that's grown up with them, and would check off all the Christian boxes. But we had some meetings, and a meeting's coming up next week with the chancellor. So we gotta, I probably should be a little hush about it, but it is encouraging that there is some movement there.
Yeah.
Yeah, it'd be nice to see some college students on campus doing some great things for the Lord, although there's a lot going on. It's interesting when you both brought up the homeless and such that perhaps this week you saw that the new mayor in New York City, coming from a socialist as who he is, and many other things, not to go down that road, but to very simply say that he wanted to make sure that in the storm and everything that happened, that the homeless would be left alone and could stay where they have their homes and stay there honestly, that they had the right to stay and nobody could take them out. And somebody brought up the fact that, it's interesting when the people who do not believe like you believe, they're not this, that, and the other, but they're Christians. They literally say, how can you leave anybody out there in that kind? And they take the people and put them in places where they're safe and warm overnight out of these storms. And what a difference that makes. And I got to thinking about California, like you said, at this point. And probably the very same approach is they're not there. We get money in their name, but they're not there. And nothing's really happening, like Steph was saying, too.
Yeah, we were in San Francisco, and I was talking to a guy on the street. We were doing like an interview, a recorded interview, and I was just asking him, where do you come from, and why are you here? And he was saying he's here because there's so many more free resources, and he can get this Narcan that like reverses an overdose. He can get that every day. It's like, what is it, like $500 a day? If he, he's dangerously overdosing, he just can take that $500 every day. And then he was telling me, oh, this building right behind me, it's available for homeless, and that building and that building and that building, like all the way down the street. But I said, so why are you outside? And he said, oh, okay, it's too dangerous in there. So they're doing all the dealing and all of the their own underground criminal
Economy.
system economy. Those housing hotels, yeah, they used to be like, real hotels in San Francisco, but now it's just hideouts for the
Criminals.
criminals.
Right. We were in the Tenderloin District in San Francisco, and they had just cleaned it up because of President Xi,
From
came
China.
from China, came through.
Yeah.
Another boondoggle of Newsom. And so there was the man that Elizabeth is talking about. He can get multiple of those Narcan every day, and that was their trading currency. So he would then turn around and sell it for, $20 or $40 of actual hard cash. So then he could go get his drugs, right? With his anti-drug prescription medicine. And it's just the good is being called evil, evil is being called good, and they're in opposite world. and functioning as in an opposite economy of taking good things, Narcan, that prevents death, and then turning it into drugs that brings destruction to your body and your brain.
And like Stephanie was saying, the incentives are there to not only stay on the streets, but come from all other states. Because what is it? Over 50% of the homeless in the country is in California.
Yes.
So,
I don't know. We had a lot in Texas, and every major
Oh.
city, Dallas, Houston, San Antonio, they have a lot of that and of pandering and everything. They've been discouraged to sit at the traffic lights, and that's where they get some of their money. And I'm thinking, maybe if I stand on the corner like that in raggy clothes, that I could make more money doing that than what I'm doing now. But these people, sometimes that's just their life. They've chosen to do that. And sometimes when you want to help them and give them the help, it's taken maybe temporarily. And then they say, you know what? Just like that guy said, it's too dangerous in the building, and they don't feel safe no matter where you put them. So,
It's a form of slavery.
Yes.
Addiction is a slavery. Doesn't well, I don't know, maybe it's Paul that says, I won't be mastered by anything, because anything that masters you, you're a slave to.
Yeah, amen.
And so those people don't. They don't, they need to be freed. They need to be freed of their addictions and their sometimes their state of mind, their mentality. And I believe that there is evil out in our world that is preying on these people and actually enabling them to be enslaved so that they can be controlled and they can be used for political purposes. So they don't care about these people. They use them.
Like you were saying earlier, I always think of Isaiah 5:20. It just came to my mind where the Bible says, "Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter." It's only a three-letter word, woe, but I'm sure we could conjugate it. Dr. Paul could do that for us and make a lot of other words out of that word, woe. But you know what? God holds people accountable for this. And not to put band-aids, but to do what Ron was saying and Steph and Tank. Find the correct answers. The only way you're going to find those is by electing you and electing others like you, who not only know the Constitution, not only know California, but they also know the one, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will give them the insight of Scripture to bless people. And that includes everybody. I'm all done. That's no sermon. But anyway, that's
Yes.
important.
Yeah, the book of Proverbs is written for rulers, and there's
Yes.
wisdom from God for how to run a society and a country so that the people can thrive, the people can prosper, and the people can be prosperous enough so that they can enjoy raising their families and having vacations.
Yes.
I think about the nation of Israel. They had so many festivals, so many holidays, and they didn't have to drive themselves to a heart attack by working, because God gave them holidays and celebration times. And because if they followed the ways of God, they prospered in
Yes.
ways, they prospered enough so that they could take time off. And I think, and even as the situation in California is now, God has blessed us so much that with $100 billion of fraud and with all of the shenanigans going on, all of the crazy taxes, we still are the best country then, and the most beautiful state. And every day, we wake up and I'm just like, thank you, God, for providing for us. And we still have five of our six kids that can still live in California. And so we need to steward it. We can't just let it be run into the ground and destroyed.
That's right. Those answers come. What do you think, Paul?
I think I know where all the money went, if you'd like to know.
Yeah, I think they stacked it on our high-speed rail system and got out of Dodge. That's what happened. And it is such a perplexing, complicated issue. I can take you to a corner that I know for sure in Lompoc where you can make $500 a day. And I mean, you just sit there and just ask for it, and then you get it. And I got that on a really, 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 really good source who knew that. So I remember, and some of the being pastoring as long as the God allowed me to do that. Sometimes working on problems, and the illustration was you put your hand in a bucket of water. And you pull your hand out, and the water comes back together, and you don't even know you were there. I mean, it's so frustrating sometimes to deal with those kind of issues. So let me ask a question, and I just it when you get elected, Elizabeth, okay, when this happens, what are the three or five things that you would really focus on the most? To generate conversation or to get movement or to find people who would come alongside of you. What do you consider that maybe the three or the five biggest issues here in this beautiful state of California, which it is? I mean, it's gorgeous.
Yeah, well, three or four of them that I'm most passionate about. Well, one is anti-crime because there's no excuse for people taking $950 out of a store and not having any consequences. And we passed Proposition 36 overwhelmingly as voters, which was supposed to reverse some of that terrible non-consequence for crime. But our legislature has not funded it and not implemented it. So even if the voters, 70% of California voters, pass something that is supposed to bring consequences to crime, our legislature is not implementing it and not funding it. So, and then I'm passionate about children and families because Ron and I, we've got four girls and two boys. Six kids we raised together here in LA County on one income, and God's grace was able to help us to finish, and they're off on their own successfully. But we want the next generation to be able to do that, to learn what the basics, reading, writing, arithmetic are in school, to graduate and get jobs in an economy where they can buy homes and raise families here. And it's, instead, the children of this next generation are going to struggle so much, even physically and medically, if they've given into some of these transgender treatments. And then there's energy and water. When we had the fires with Stephanie's family in the Palisades, we were evacuated a year ago from close to these Altadena fires. There was no water in the hydrants. And so the water stewardship in California is so important, and it's possible. There needs to be implementation and pushing for it, and get rid of the corruption, because there's so many possible solutions, but the reservoirs are falling apart. The two tunnels that were supposed to go under the delta and save the smelt, now it's reduced down to one tunnel because since it took them so long to actually move forward, the cost has gone up double. So,
And they can't find the smoke.
yeah,
Yeah. Oh my.
and then our energy, whether it's gas for our cars, natural gas for our appliances in our house, electricity. I do not want to see California become like the third world countries where it's the norm that, oh, well, we won't have electricity from this hour to that hour, and that's just life. We have to learn that. No, No, we should not accept that because God is a God of abundance, and God is a God of wisdom, and God is a God of innovation and creativity. And America's become such a great country because we've been able to overcome limitations in resources
That's
and
right.
even become more efficient. So these are things that I'm passionate about and can be done in California.
You spoke about, I think you talked about some of the funny taxes that we have in California. I read an article this morning and it floored me, and I didn't think it was true, so I had to go to other sources to find out. It's the jock tax. Are you aware of the jock tax? The quarterback of the Seattle Seahawks lost $70,000 by winning the Super Bowl because of the jock tax in California. He got $178,000 bonus for winning, for being on the winning team. Every player did. But because of the tax structure in California, he's taxed on what he won plus his salary that he gets back in Washington. And so instead of getting an extra 178,000, he winds up paying 249,000 in taxes. And I'm going, that's just nuts. And then I realized every time I look at the gas pump, I go, that's just nuts.
That's right.
We're paying 61 cents a gallon in taxes, just a gallon of gas. So taxes, how in the
And then
world?
they want and then they want to tax after they've taxed the gas that you put in the car, then they want to tax every mile that you drive the car.
Use
Use
tax. I
tax.
love that.
Just,
and then every vehicle will have to have a GPS tracker so that they can control how far we go and where we're going. And so as far as incentives to excel and do, whether it's in football or whether it's in a restaurant or whether it's in any kind of creative entrepreneur business, the incentives are gone if they tax all of the benefit from you. It's communism.
That's it.
There's no
Amen.
motivation to do anything with excellence.
That's right. That's exactly right.
Right. So
Logic.
two quotes for you. The power to tax is the power to destroy. And all of us as believers, we know that the thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy. And
Here
that's what's happening in California with the multitude of taxes, is that that's what they are doing, stealing, killing, and destroying.
you go. Amen. That's right, Ron.
Right.
Wow.
So I guess basically I am anti-communist.
That's right.
Give me freedom. Give me freedom, and God gives us freedom, and born free. Live free.
That's
Of course, except we the only way that I want to have any master over me is Jesus Christ, and live
Amen.
in the fear of the Lord so that we're accountable to God, and he sees everything, he knows everything, and I've got
Amen.
to behave myself because I want to answer to God and stand before him and see him smile at me.
That's
Yeah, he
right.
will.
And there's the peace that passes understanding. Watch him go. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, we know we've got the best candidate you could ever imagine right here. She's our friend. They are our close friends. But I tell you what, God's going to work something special in their lives. And we want to take just a moment here on time, as Stephanie would share. We're going to have a place for you, and I will put it up again and on my areas on the net to donate to her. She's been doing different things, speaking and sharing. And you have her website too. You can find out where she's been helping people. Some good things going on. I don't know where you were in following this last week, but it looked pretty exciting. And so we want you to be able to do that. And so maybe take just a couple of minutes before we begin to wrap up and share about where you were with some of the people. What was happening there? They looked interested. I think you were outdoors with a group of people who were doing food
Community.
and community service. helping people in the
Oh,
community,
us.
your food bank.
Oh yeah, we were in Santa Clarita. There's a ministry there called God's Glorious Ministries, and the pastor he has a line every Saturday where they distribute food and groceries to these people. And some of the people I was talking to have only been in the United States a few months. And so we had some translation. But this pastor has a heart of generosity and love. And before they get their food, he gets on his portable microphone outside in front of the food table, and he gives them some Jesus gospel. And then he handed the microphone to me and let me tell the people, explain to the people that if I'm here to serve you today with food, and I would also love to serve you as a government representative, because it is the people of God who have the heart of God to do what is good and true and beautiful for everyone who lives in California. And so I was really blessed by that pastor to be able to
Great.
speak to those people. And there was another pastor there that was also supporting me and the food bank. And a lot of these people were very receptive, and they said, "I'll take more of your cards because I can share them with other families." And so I think we'll get some votes that are coming from unexpected places.
Amen. Amen. That's how it works. That's how it works. That's great. Stephanie, could you share a word? We just have some things that have been coming down the pipe. Say a word about ours. You'll appreciate
Sure, I was getting so comfortable because I haven't done this in a while. I was just, relaxing. So
it.
I'm happy to do it. Your turn.
It's been pretty bad. We've been waiting for you, huh, Tank?
Yes.
If you go to our website, it's bbsradio.com/raising expectations, and you can find all the goodness that there is to find about the show. So at the top, you can listen live. BBS Radio actually has two stations that are going at once. You can scroll down just a little bit and you'll see past shows that we have. You can even search by guests if you're looking for something specific. They get posted a couple of days after we're live. It's really fun to go through the archives. And then if you continue to go down, you can learn information about each one of us as co-hosts, how to contact us. Pastor Joe loves, he's the best at responding. He loves getting just feedback from you guys, input, all of that. And then at the very top, we have a couple of ways that you can make donations. We have good old snail mail way. You can call Joe. We have the fancy QR code. Any way that you can, we have that. And we share this. It's the same for Elizabeth as it is for us on this show. It does take money to be able to do things, to get the message out, to share. And so as you think about where you're giving and how that can become a ripple effect, we both just appreciate you considering sharing, even if that's for going a coffee or a meal. It all actually adds up. So thank you for being a part of us. And this applies also to both of us. One of the kindest things you can do is just share. Share. Get people connected and plugged in, right? And that actually costs nothing. It's like crowdfunding. It's amazing what can happen when it's word of mouth and you build momentum, right?
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Steph. That's great. That's right. So, folks, we do, like we said in the beginning, we appreciate you. We've got 1 minute left to go. Give us one thing we can really pray for in the coming time. We've got 1 minute. And
Oh,
then we're
where
going to
can I
close.
say my website again,
Yes.
Pastor? Yeah,
Yes.
our website, elizabethforassembly.com.
That's
And
it.
yeah. And then prayer for our marriage here as Valentine's is coming up, because there's a lot of stress going on. And yeah, Ron's mom passed, and so even as we keep moving forward in the campaign, well, there's always family and marriage that we appreciate the support for, because yeah, as we are one, we will show the world Jesus' love.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. We love you guys. And all of you tuned in tonight, we love you too. God bless you. Have a great week. We're going to have to say goodbye for now. Thanks again, Steph. Tank, good to see you, brother. All right. And that's me down there. I already know you. And there's Paul. All right, Paul. Good to see you too. Ron, you take care. Praying for your logistics, brother. You hang in there. Okay. Talk to you soon. God keep
Thank
you.
you.
Bless. We'll
Thank
see you
you.
real soon. Okay.
Blessing. Bye-bye.
Friends, thanks for joining us on this week's program of Raising Expectations. We profoundly hope you found it engaging and at times humorous, but most of all, uplifting, so that we may, with you, one topic at a time each week, become more encouraged to move forward to an exciting future in, as we always say, this thing called life in America today. So let not your hearts be troubled, your family, finances, faith, freedom. It can be a great future as we talk, listen, respect, and pull together. Please let me hear from you. You can reach me at 972-922-8556. That's 972-922-8556, or Joe Schofield on Facebook or LinkedIn. It'd be a pleasure to know you, and we hope you'll listen in again next week on the BBS Radio Network.